This book concludes with an afterword by author Charles Stross, titled The Golden Age of Spying. The Mary Sue of MI6. My name is Bond, James Bond. These six words, heard by hundreds of millions of people, are almost invariably spoken during the first 5 minutes of each movie in one of the biggest media success stories of the 20th century. Unless you've lived under a rock for the past 40 years, you hear them and you know at once that you're about to be plunged into a two-hour-long, adrenaline-saturated extravaganza of snobbish, fashionable excess, violence, sex, car chases, more violence, and blowing shit up, followed by a post-coital cigarette and a light-hearted quip as the credits roll. It wasn't always so. When Casino Royale was first published in 1953, it got a print run of 4,750 hardcover copies and no advertising budget to speak of. While the initial reviews were favourable, comparing Ian Fleming to Le Queue and Oppenheim, the kings of the pre-war British spy thriller genre, it took a long time for his most famous creation to set the world on fire. Despite his rapidly rising print runs, Casino Royale eventually sold over 1 million paperbacks in the UK alone, and despite his increasing prominence among the post-war thriller writers, a decade elapsed before any of Fleming's novels were filmed. Indeed, their author barely lived to see the commercial release of Dr. No and the runaway success of the icon he created. Nor were the films seen as a runaway success before they were made. Dr. No was notoriously made on a tight budget, even though it went on to gross nearly $60 million around the world. Literary immortality, or indeed mere post-mortem survival, is dauntingly hard for a novelist to achieve. The limbo of post-mortem obscurity awaits 95% of all novelists. Almost all novels go out of print for good within 5 years of the death of their author. But in addition to being a million-selling bestseller, Fleming was a ferociously well-connected newspaper executive with a strong sense of the value of his ideas, and he pursued television and film adaptation remorselessly. Cinematic success arrived just in time for his creation, and the synergy between best-selling books and massive movie hype has sufficed to keep them in print ever since. James Bond is a creature of fantasy, perhaps best described using a literary term looted from the most curious and least respected of fields, fan fiction. The Mary Sue. A Mary Sue character is a placeholder in a script, a hollow cardboard cutout into whose outline the author can squeeze their own dreams and fantasies. In the case of Bond, it's cruelly easy to make a case that the famous spy was his author's Mary Sue, for Fleming had a curious and ambiguous relationship with spying. A dilettante and dabbler for his first 3 decades, unsuccessful as a stockbroker, foreign correspondent, and banker, Fleming fortuitously landed his dream job on the eve of the Second World War. Secretary to the Director of Naval Intelligence in the Admiralty. The war was good for Ian Fleming, broadening and deepening him and giving him a job that captured his imagination and drew out his not inconsiderable talents. But Fleming was the man who knew too much. Privy to too many secrets, he was wrapped in tissue paper and prevented from pursuing his desire to go into the field. He entered the war with a distinguished record and absolutely no combat experience, if one excludes being bombed by the Luftwaffe or watching the Dieppe raid from a destroyer safely far off the Normandy coastline. Fleming grew up in the shade of a father who died heroically on the Western Front in 1917, and in adult life he wrote in the shadow of an elder brother whose reputation as a novelist surpassed his own. It's easy to imagine these unkind familial comparisons provoking the imaginative but flighty playboy who almost found himself during the war, which goaded him into imagining himself in the shoes of a hero who was not merely larger than life, but larger in every way than his own life. And, as it turns out, James Bond was larger than Ian Fleming. Not only do few novels survive their author's demise, even fewer acquire sequels written by other hands. Yet several other authors, including Kingsley Amis and John Gardner, have toiled in Fleming's vineyard. Few fictional characters acquire biographies written by third parties. But Bond has not only acquired an autobiography, courtesy of biographer John Pearson, but spawned a small cultural industry, including a study of his semiotics by Umberto Eco. Now, that has to be a sign of something.